Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Saying, it's nice to see you this morning, and it's nice to be here. It's nice to be seen. This morning, we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, and we're continuing on from last week. And today, we're looking at Jesus coming together to put a team together, to walk alongside him, to work with him. And as we read in the scripture there, it said, following his baptism and his wilderness temptation and his public introduction in Galilee, Jesus continued to preach and minister to the people, and his fame, he became really well known. One of his priorities as he was assembling a team was to get this group of men to walk with him, whom he could teach and prepare for his ministry. In our text, Jesus has passed by some common-looking fishermen and extended the call to follow him. This common, humble man from Galilee was seeking men to serve alongside of him. He didn't go to the temples or to the synagogues to find them. Jesus went out among the world to find his first disciples. He was more concerned with their heart than with their heredity. He looked for those with passion rather than people with prestige. He chose men of faith instead of men of fame. Jesus continues to seek the same characteristics in the lives of believers today. Our ability to know and to serve the Lord is not based on or limited to our possessions or our positions or our prominence. Jesus is looking for a people who have a desire to serve him. I want to look into the insights that we see in this scripture as in this divine encounter of those fishermen with Jesus, and consider this as Jesus assembles together a team. The first thing we see is this, that there is a calling. In verse 17, it reads, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. The call that Jesus extended was very simple, but it reveals several things to us. It reveals that there is an invitation. Come, follow me. In John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, these men had already followed Jesus, not followed, they had already met Jesus, and they were familiar with who he was, and some of them even recognized that this was the Messiah. That initial encounter with Jesus would not be the last. Jesus has returned to them with the invitation to work alongside him. We can rejoice to know that Jesus doesn't just come by or speak to us once, and that's it. Often he passes by again and again, seeking our hearts. Jesus, as it was with the disciples, we too must answer the call of our Lord. And in this passage, these men have received an invitation to serve Jesus, to serve our Lord. But before that invitation can be offered, one must accept the invitation of salvation. You have likely heard an invitation from the Lord, whatever he desires of you, and I would encourage you to respond and follow him. We can't respond without an invitation. Salvation and our service to the Lord is not something we choose the timing of or decide the direction. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, he said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." We must listen as the Lord invites us to follow him. Notice in this text that there is also an intention. Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was very clear in his desire for these men. He is always clear regarding his desire for our lives. It often requires prayer and commitment to understand, but the will of God is not vague. He had a specific work for them and revealed his intentions for their lives. This was a specific call to the disciples, and yet it's the same call for us as also to hear from our Lord. It is his desire that we serve as fishers of men. The Lord wants us to be a witness and bear his testimony among the world. There is not one person who has ever been saved that the Lord did not desire to be a witness and reach out to others for his glory. I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, but I can assure you that God has a plan for you in your life. He has a purpose for you to fulfill. We are not here simply to coast through life and ease right into heaven. We are saved and set apart to serve the Lord. He intends for us to be of service in some sort of capacity. And in this text, we also see that there is an investment. The King James Version of this verse, verse 17, reads, "Come follow me," Jesus says, "and I will make you become fishers of men." The emphasis is mine, become fishers of men. Jesus reveals their lives will be a work in progress. Hearing and answering the call was an important decision, but it wasn't all that was involved. These men would encounter new and challenging tasks as they walked with Jesus. There would be seasons of difficulty and moments when their faith would be tested. These men had a lot to learn and needed to grow in the Lord. They were great fishermen, but it would take time for them to become fishers of men. The Lord was making a great investment, and they too must be committed to making an investment in him. There was a lot to learn, and they must be determined to walk patiently and consistently if they were to fulfill the Lord's desire for their lives. God has a plan for each one of us, but that plan is not fulfilled overnight. There is a great work for all of us to do, but it is a work in progress. I've often heard it said that we are a house under construction. We must be willing to continue in the Lord's way, becoming what he would have us be. So are we willing to continue with the Lord and allow him to make us what he desires us to be? There is a second insight that we can see in this divine encounter with Jesus for us to consider, and it's their commitment. Verses 18 to 20 read, "At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." The commitment of the disciples was revealed in these three distinct areas. If we are to obey the Lord's call, the same commitment must be evident in our lives too. Notice that commitment involved following. Andrew and Peter followed him. James and John went after him. They heard the Lord's call and they decided to follow Jesus. It would have been of little value to have heard the Lord's call and never responded. They had to make the choice. This will not always be easy. The disciples had little information about where they were going and what they would have to do to become fishers of men. Abraham was called to follow God to a land that God would show him. And Moses was called to take a journey back to Egypt. God has called us to follow Him in the path that He has chosen for us. If we are to enjoy victory and be of service to our Lord, we must be willing to follow Him. This will likely require one step at a time, one day at a time, but we can rest assured that He is in control and He will always lead us on the right path. Notice, too, that commitment involved giving up something. Andrew and Peter left their nets and followed Jesus. James and John left their father Zebedee in the ship and the hired servants and followed Jesus. Keep in mind that this was all these men knew. They had worked hard building a reputable fishing business, and then along comes Jesus and He calls them and asks them to walk with Him for the rest of their lives, including moving away from their families and their livelihood to following Christ. They left all they knew to follow Him. Jesus immediately became their new priority. If we are to follow Jesus, we too must be willing to leave some things in this life. We must be willing to lay aside anything that would stand between us and the Lord. We must be willing to sell out entirely to Christ and His will for our lives. In this text, we also see that commitment involved faith. Imagine the uncertainty these men must have felt. They were walking away from everything and everyone they knew to follow Jesus. They were giving up the peace and security of the life they knew to follow Jesus into an unknown future. No doubt, they were certain of His ability and His power, but they had no way of knowing what the future would hold for each one of them. It took great faith for them to follow Jesus in this capacity. He wasn't asking for a couple of hours or a few days in the week. Jesus wanted them to follow Him for the rest of their lives. Making a commitment to follow Jesus is a leap of faith. We come to Him in salvation by faith, and we must follow Him in service by faith. He may not ask us to pack up and move, and then again He might. He might not ask us to serve out of our comfort zone, but likely He will. He might not use us in ways we never imagined at first, but eventually He will. And this will take faith. There's a third insight in this encounter with Jesus for us to consider. In this text, it teaches us what it takes to have a passion and a perspective on the work of witnessing. We see their character. These men reveal the true character of those who hear the call and decide to follow Jesus. We find that some are casters. In verse 16 it says, "Now as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." These men had already spent a long night fishing, and rather than giving up and being satisfied with the catch they had, they continued to cast their nets. We need those who are determined to cast their nets for the Lord. Some have been gifted with the ability to reach out to those who need the Lord. Some are gifted with sharing their testimonies and engaging the lost. If God has blessed you with that ability, use it for His glory. Next, we see that some of them are menders. In verse 19, it reads, "When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets." In the King James Version, it reads, instead of preparing, it reads, "mending their nets." James and John felt as if their work for the night was complete, and they were busy mending their nets. The word "mending" has the idea of rendering complete or strengthening and preparing. They were already focused on the next day's work. They were making preparations to secure the fish that would be caught the next day. From the perspective of ministry, James and John differ from Andrew and Peter. They are a picture of those who are concerned with maintaining the catch. These are people who care for and minister to new believers. They care for them, discipling them in the ways of God. They too serve an important role. Once people are born into the family of God, they must be fed and nurtured in the ways of God so that they can grow for Him. And then we see also that the disciples were adapters. Each of these men were asked to step out in faith and perform a task that they were unfamiliar with. Their gifts and abilities that they possessed would likely come in handy, but they had to be open to change and learning new ways. So we too must be willing and able to adapt to God what God has gifted us in certain areas of our life so that there is a guarantee He would not take us into uncharted waters. We must be willing to follow the Lord wherever He leads and trust Him to equip us for the task at hand. So keep in mind that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If God brought you to it, He will lead you through it. Are you willing to step out in faith and follow Him? Are we willing to adapt for His glory? Each believer has a work to perform. Christ has called each of us to a life of service for Him. We must heed the call and follow Him and grow as He strengthens us. So are we willing to follow Jesus and allow Him to equip and teach us? We need to be obedient disciples to reach the unsaved and invest in the lives of young believers. In closing, I just want to leave you with this here. It's from Dr. Leighton Ford. I heard this a long time ago, but I'll share it with you. Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He preached from a borrowed boat. He entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He ate the Last Supper in a borrowed upper room. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now He asks to borrow the lives of Christians to reach the rest of the world. Amen.